So some words from those readings from the Jews saying to Philip, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." And the theme which goes through both readings, "You are my son." And we hear in the reading, the letter to the Hebrews, about what that meant, being God's son, being a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. That shadowy but significant figure who appears in the Old Testament, bringing Abraham bread and wine after he has been fighting with some enemies, foreshadowing the Eucharist. Melchizedek, the very name meaning King of Righteousness, who is also called King of Salem, King of Peace. He appears there. We don't quite know who he is, how he fits into things, but we know that he is important. And we know that that is the kind of order which God is calling for the eternal priesthood, which Jesus himself came to fulfill, to be the sacrifice for the sins of all the world, past, present, and future. But we may wonder how the Greeks come into it. And we may also want to imagine ourselves in that crowd, wanting someone to take you to see and talk to Jesus, the one about whom you've heard so much. And of course, as so often in John's Gospel, there's much more in this than we can take in a single reading. But let's just think about the context. We are in Jerusalem a few days before Passover. That great feast, still so significant to the Jewish people, in which they celebrate the coming out of Egypt, the coming out of slavery, and starting their journey to the promised land, the Exodus. Jerusalem was then, just as now, a crowded city with narrow streets. If you've ever been there, you will have seen how people jostle together, how there are people from all nations, how it's difficult to get down the old streets of the bazaars without bumping into people, and how they come from all over the world. Jesus was there before Passover with his disciples. Others had flocked in from all over the country, and indeed from all over the Mediterranean world. And the Roman occupying army was on high alert. Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, knew that at these times he had to be on site. At this febrile time, tempers ran high. Anti-Roman sentiments often broke out, and riots and demonstrations could spark from nothing into real trouble, threatening the peace. We've seen so much of this at the minute. Think Myanmar. Think vigils for Sarah Everard. Think demonstrations against lockdown. Whatever the rights and wrongs, and they are very complex, it's a challenge for the authorities. And the atmosphere is high enough already after Jesus has ridden very publicly into the city on a donkey, with the crowds cheering and waving palm branches, singing, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." That didn't just bother the Romans. It bothered the Jewish establishment even more, who already felt so threatened by Jesus that they had decided they must get rid of him. Of course, on Sunday, Palm Sunday, we'll remember again that entry into Jerusalem and the passion, the suffering it led to as we start Holy Week. Today, we hear Jesus telling his disciples what it means and hear his own trepidation as he confronts his fate. But Greek visitors are very significant. Are they Jewish converts? John says that they come to worship, and we know from the Acts of the Apostles that there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit descended upon these disciples. Or are they tourists, come to watch, interested in Judaism and what's going on, but not practicing Jews? But they ask to see Jesus. And the original Greek word here indicates they want much more than to get a glimpse of him in the crowd. They want to talk to him, to have a proper meeting. They've heard enough to want to know more. It's a sign that the world is coming to seek him out. How would you feel if you could meet Jesus face to face? What would you want to ask him? Would you be awed, nervous, or full of questions? He would listen to you. He would understand you. And he would warm and strengthen you, as he does each time we receive him in bread and wine. The disciple they asked, Philip, was one of those first called by Jesus right at the beginning of John's Gospel. Now he is bringing others to Jesus. Can we do that? If someone asked you about your Christian faith, what would you do to help them know more? Never be ashamed. Never be shy. Never feel you've got to know it all. Speak from your own experience about why it matters to you and bring them to meet others. Jesus responds by foretelling his crucifixion. His hour is come. The time is ripe for him to give up his life for all humanity, not just for the Jewish people, although he was born among them and they had been waiting for centuries for the promised Messiah. He will be lifted up on the cross to draw all people to himself, the Greeks and many others. But he is fully human as well as fully divine. He feels human agitation and fear. My soul is troubled. What should I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. His birth in Bethlehem, his upbringing in Nazareth, the voice at his baptism confirming him as God's son, all lead to this point when he prepares to give himself to free us all from the chains of everything bad we have done, when he will take on death itself and conquer it by rising again. Have you ever faced something hard and painful, knowing that you have no choice but must go through with it? Knowing that if you funk this and stand back, you will never be able to look at yourself in the mirror again. Very often this will be something you need to do for others, to tell the truth in a difficult situation, to do something really painful and challenging to give others what they need, to put your own security and comfort and even reputation last. Whatever your anxiety, your reluctance, Jesus knows it. He has been there, faced and overcome it. For could there be anything worse than knowing you must deliberately offer yourself to die? He can support you, whatever it is. Passion Tide and Good Friday seem hard sometimes. We may prefer the happiness of Christmas, the accounts of healing and teaching in Galilee. Yet this is his glory. This is why he came. and to remember that tomorrow, the 25th of March, the Church celebrates the Annunciation of Jesus' birth by Gabriel to Mary. The beginning and the end are a complete continuum. This is why he came. Without the crucifixion, Jesus would be just another good man in the history books. With the cross and the resurrection, he has saved the world, the Greeks, the Jews, and us, and lives to be with us now and forever. Amen.